Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
1 Corinthians chapter number 12, and it's good to be saved tonight. Amen. I say that it's good to be saved tonight. And, man, we was doing devotions this morning, and I just got tore slap up thinking about the goodness of God and the grace of God. And you know what? If we got what we deserved tonight, we'd be in hell. That's exactly where we'd be at. But I sure am thankful for the grace of a holy God, amen, and for Him loving us. You know, God loved us enough. He sent His Son to die for us, and I got to thinking about that. Jesus loved us enough. Whenever He left the earth, He left the Holy Spirit to comfort us and convict us and help us along the way. And thank God He'll be with us until the Lord comes back to get us. And then we'll go to heaven. Amen. And that'll be a good day. 1 Corinthians 12, I want to read a few verses to you. And then we're going to pick back up on spiritual gifts tonight and talk a little bit about it. Note with me verse number 1 of 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. He goes on to say in verse number 2, you know that you were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore, I give to you understanding that no man speaketh by the Spirit of God, calling Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And we began talking about this. I dealt in verse number 1 a little bit last week on how He is talking to us as the saved. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant. So He is dealing with the saved here and how there is a difference in spiritual gifts and talents. That's two separate things. Lost people are talented today. There's a lot of lost people that has beautiful voices, a lot of lost people that's very talented with musical instruments. But a gift, a spiritual gift, is given to the saved. And we note that in verse number 1 because He says, brethren. And then He also says, I would not have you to be ignorant. So He begins talking about it. He deals with the idols of the days gone by there that they was dealing with. And I dealt with how He said they're dumb idols. What He is meaning there is simply this. They were nonverbal. They did not speak. And an idol is not going to speak to you. And can I just say this? I'm glad that I have a God that does speak to me. Amen. Early this morning, I was going up the road. It was just starting to break daylight, and if anybody else saw the sunrise this morning, man, I'm telling you, it was absolutely beautiful. And I just call it that golden few minutes right there as the sunburst come through the sky. Man, I just got to thinking about how good God was, and God got to talking to me going up the road. And you say, well, was it an audible voice? No, it was louder than that. You know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. Amen. And boy, I'm thankful that we've got a God tonight that'll talk to us, that'll hear us. I'm glad that I'm not serving a dumb, a nonverbal idol tonight. Amen. Then He goes in and talks, and He says this in verse number 4. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Verse number 5 deals with the same Lord. Verse number 6 deals with the same God. Now, jump down to verse number 12. The Bible said this, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Now, pay attention to verse 14. He says this, "For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, it is therefore not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body?" Verse 16, "And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were a hearing, where would the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body?" Now, here's what I want you to see. He begins there in the latter portion of chapter number 12, there in verse number 12, and begins dealing and gives us a practical application that our whole body is not a hand, or our whole body is not an ear. Boy, that'd be a weird looking somebody, wouldn't it? And our whole body is not an eye, but our body is made up of different members, and each one of those members has their place to do what they need to do. Now, it is the same way in the church tonight. Just as my head needs my arm, and my arm needs my leg, and my leg needs my big toe to keep me balanced. Are you with me right there? Every little member has a part. And when it comes to the church tonight, there's no big guys and little yous in the church. Yes, there is a pastor. Yes, there's deacons. Yes, there's trustees and a finance committee and Sunday school teachers. But everybody is part of one body, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. We all have our place in the service of God. And as we look at spiritual gifts, it helps us to understand where our place is in the church. Now, last week I briefly said, we broke it down into different categories, and I briefly said, here is what the spiritual gifts are. And we give you the little test for you to take home and to look at. I hope you've done that. And we give you a sheet to fill out, and you can drop it off tonight, and we're going to look over those. I'm personally going to look over everyone that's turned in, so I'll have a better understanding of what your spiritual gift is. But tonight, I want to just walk down through those different spiritual gifts that was on there and just talk to you a minute about it. Now, I'm not going to spend a great deal of time on each one of them, or I'll not get done tonight, or we'll be here a long time. But I do want to just briefly mention them. Now, let's talk about this one, and we'll just walk down through them tonight. Number one, and I really don't even have them numbered, but let's talk about prophecy. That's one of them that's on there. And the Bible said this in Romans chapter number 12, verse number 6, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. And then 1 Corinthians chapter number 14, verse number 3 says, he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. Simply prophesying is this, proclaiming God's word with clarity and conviction. It's not saying, I believe tomorrow this is going to happen in your life. That is not what that's dealing with. And for the sake of time, I'm not going to go into all this, but when you study it out, the Bible says, whether they shall be prophets, they shall cease. And we could go through all that. I'm not a prophet, and I'm not the son of a prophet. What he is dealing with here is simply proclaiming the word of God and doing that with clarity. It's what he's dealing with. What is it? I would say it this way, in the New Testament church context, this is not primarily foretelling the future, but foretelling the word of God. It is a spirit-enabled ability to declare truth boldly and accurately. that's what it is. Have you ever heard somebody that can, you just talk to them, man, and you they got a knowledge of the Word of God. And man, I've talked to some people, they're not teachers, they're not preachers, but I do believe that they have this gift of prophecy because, man, they can just tell you the Word of God so clear and so simple. What it looks like, well, strong convictions about truth, clear biblical insight, protecting doctrinal purity. Boy, that's so important today. A lot of people takes the Bible so far out of context today. And man, people will put verses. And let me just say, best thing you can do is turn social media off. Can I just tell you that? People, I get so mad at so-called quote-unquote Christians just because you're saved don't mean you're a Christian. Christian means Christ-like. And I'm just going to tell you, I'm saved. Thank God I'm saved. I've been saved since I was 16 years old when I realized I was lost. That's Jesus into my heart. But there's some days I don't, Brother Tim, I don't act like a Christian. You might as well holler, amen. There's some days you don't act like Christ would act, amen. But I see people putting stuff on social media, and they'll say a verse, and then they'll try to explain that verse, and I'm like, man, I don't know where in the world you get that from. A lot of times people just take one verse, and they never take time to read the chapter that that verse is in, or the book that that verse is in, or they never take time to run the cross references to that verse and find out what the context of it is. So when it comes to this gift of prophesying, it protects doctrinal purity, and that's so important today. Using the Scripture to call people to repentance, and what it looks like, it brings clarity in confusion. It brings clarity in confusion. And I want to say this to you tonight. I'm not going to get bogged down. I'm going to keep going. But I want to say this to you tonight. The devil's never been the author of, the Lord's never been the author of confusion. Confusion always comes from the devil. And if you read the Bible and you get all confused, that's not of God. That's of Satan trying to confuse your mind. The Bible, hey, the Bible will speak for itself. And the reason a lot of people have a hard time understanding the Bible is because they've never met the author. But if you'll meet the author and the Holy Spirit will move inside of you, that Holy Ghost will nudge you and help you to understand the Bible. Matter of fact, he said, and again, I've got to move or I'm going to get bogged down here. He said this, if any man lacked wisdom, James said, if any man lacked wisdom, let him ask of God who give it to all men freely, and God will do that. The application to this one is simply this. The prophecy is simply this. The gift keeps the church anchored in Scripture. This gift keeps the church anchored in the Word of God. Now let's look at this one. There is the gift of ministry or helps or service. You could say it any different way. Romans chapter number 12, verse number 7 says this. Our ministry or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Let us wait on our ministering. Now, that word ministering right there, whenever you study it out, it's the word wait. And whenever you look at the word wait, or not ministering, but the word wait that is there, he said, let us wait on our ministering. And whenever you look at that word, here's what it means in the Strong's Concordance. It means to be earnest toward, to preserve, to be constantly diligent, to attend assertively. The Greek lexicon defines the word wait like this. To adhere to one, be devoted or constant to one. To be steadfastly attentive unto, to give unremitting care to a thing. Vine's Expository Dictionary defines it this way, to persist obscurely, to be devoted to continue steadfastly. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 11 says this, if any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth. Minister right there, whenever you study that out, it's to be a servant or to wait upon. And whenever you study the word wait in Romans chapter 12, verse number 7, it's not the word of being patient. That is not what it is dealing with. That's not what it's talking about. But it's simply this, it is to be a servant. That's what he's talking about. And he's saying this to us, that we are to be that servant. We are to wait upon someone. Matter of fact, the word ministry, it means service, like a waiting of tables. It's someone that is waiting on a table. So this, whenever we think about this ministry of helps and the ministry of service, this gift of ministry, it's simply this. It's a gift of waiting on others. It's a gift. And again, it's not like waiting patiently, but it's serving others. That's what it is. What it looks like this. Sees the needs that others overlook. Joyfully serves behind the scenes. What about this? They don't need recognition. There's a lot of people, they'll serve as long as they're recognized. As long as they're going to be noticed for it, then they'll serve. But I'm going to tell you something. This gift of ministry and this gift of serving tonight, it's doing it without recognition. It's just simply, man, they see the need and they jump in and do it. They see the need and they jump in and do it. Some of the strengths, think about this, keeps the ministry functioning and demonstrates Christ's humility. I truly believe that this gift right here of ministry or serving or helps, I truly believe this one ministry is what every church is what calls it either to thrive or to struggle. If you've got people in the church that has a gift of ministry, a gift of help, a gift of service, and they apply that to the church, it is ultimately what causes the church to thrive. It's that person that just jumps in. You ever met somebody like that? They just jump in. I'm the type, this is just the way my dad raised me. If you pull up and you start talking to somebody and they're in the middle of something, you do one of two things. You go on and leave them alone, or you get in the middle of it with them. That's just the way that I was raised. You don't detour them from what they're doing. You leave or get into it with them. And I'm just the type, I'm just going to jump right in the middle. Matter of fact, I was going up the road one day and I had my dress clothes on, and just right up here, I got to the end of Haystack Road, turned left, and started down through there. And as I come through the gap, there was a fella standing out there in the field trying to pull a calf. And I looked back over my shoulder, and I thought, man, that poor old guy's going to pass out right there. You know what I'd done? I turned the church van around with dress clothes on, came back, pulled over on the side of the road, and he looked up and he said, "Preacher, what are you doing?" And I said, "Man, you look like you're in need, and you're my neighbor, and the Bible says I'm supposed to help you." I jumped the fence, got right in the middle of it with him. We pulled the calf, and he had an old T-shirt laying there. I grabbed it, wiped my hands off, got in the church van, and went on up the road. And you say, "Preacher, what are you saying?" The gift of ministry, the gift of helps, man, I'm telling you, it's what will make a church thrive. It's what will make a church thrive. So we see that one. Now, here's another one as we walk through these. There's the gift of teaching. Romans chapter number 12, verse number 7. He that teacheth on teaching. 2 Timothy chapter number 2, verse number 15. Study to show thyself approved. Well, what is it? It's the Spirit-enabled ability to explain and clarify Scripture so others understand and apply. So others understand and apply. Before I taught Sunday school, I'm teaching through the book that I wrote over in the young adult class now. But before I did, I came in here. And I'm going to tell you something. And I believe this all my heart, that Brother Stan, Brother John has this gift. And I'm not saying our other teachers don't, okay? Don't nobody get mad at me. I'm not saying our others. I'm just saying this is where I sat at, okay? This is my age group. And I'm going to tell you something, man. Brother Stan will get up and teach every once in a while. And there's been a few times that I've texted him and said, "Hey, you need to send me that outline." And I've took him across the country and preached a fire out of him. You say, would you really do that? Well, you know what my daddy said? He said, a man's a fool not to take another man's stick and beat the devil with it. That's what he says. I agree with him, amen. What is this? What does it look like? Man, it's the ability to be able to explain and clarify Scripture so that others understand it and apply it. What does it look like in their personal life? Well, they love to study. They value accuracy of Scripture. They value accuracy of Scripture. Think about this. Breaks complex truth into understandable form. Some of their strengths is this. Grounds believers in doctrine. Prevents deception. May prioritize knowledge over obedience. The application is simply this. Preaching inspires and teaching stabilizes. That person that has that gift of teaching, they help to stabilize what is in the church, and sound doctrine, they're able to stabilize that. Well, let's look at another one tonight. I told you he's going to run through them quickly. There is the gift of exhortation or the gift of encouragement. The gift of exhortation or encouragement. Romans chapter number 12, verse number 8. He that exhorteth on exhortation. What did he say in Hebrews chapter number 10, verse number 25, 24 and 25? He's talking about not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. But he goes on to say this, but exhorting one another or encouraging one another. The gift of encouraging. What is it? Well, I would say it this way. The gift of coming alongside someone to comfort, strengthen, and challenge them to move forward. The word encourageth is parakleto in the Greek, and it means this. It means to call alongside. It means to call alongside. What does that encourager do? They come alongside of you and say, keep on keeping on. Keep on keeping on. One of my favorite movies of all times. I love the movie, and y'all have heard me talk about it before, but I love the movie Facing the Giants. I love it. Matter of fact, I might go home and watch it tonight. I love the movie Facing the Giants. And in that movie, you know that one part where they're all belly aching a little bit, and the one guy gets down on the ground, he's going to do the death crawl, and then he puts the other guy on top of him. And he tells him to go to the 50-yard line. And the coach gets down beside of him, and he's screaming at him, don't give up, keep going, keep going. And the guy goes, I've got to be at the 50-yard line by now. I've got to be at the 50-yard line by now. And he says, don't give me nothing but your very best. Keep going. I might go home and watch it tonight, man. I'm getting fired up thinking about it. Keep going, keep going, keep going. And he does, and he does, and he says, coach, I've got to be at the 50-yard line now. And he tells him, he said, open your eyes and look, you're in the end zone. You know what? There's a lot of times we're like that guy, we're burdened down. But have you ever had that person that just comes alongside of you and goes, hey, it's going to be all right. Just keep going. Just keep going. Just give it your best. Just keep going. That's what that encourager is. There's that person that comes alongside of you and helps you. What it looks like, knows when someone is discouraged, speaks timely encouragement, helps people apply truth practically. Some of their strengths is this, strengthens the weary believers and mobilizes people into action. Encouragers keep people from quitting. That's what they are. They keep people from quitting. One of the men that beyond a shadow of a doubt has the gift of encouragement and exhortation is Brother Steve Pope. Beyond shadow of a doubt. If you ever heard Brother Steve Pope preach, you know he's got that gift. Because you know what he'll do? He'll make you want to pick the pulpit up and throw it out the back door, man. He makes you want to do something. Matter of fact, I can't wait in just a few weeks in our preacher's workshop that Friday night. He'll be preaching that Friday night for us. And have you ever met that person? They just come alongside of you and they encourage you. Just keep on keeping on. Can I just say this to you, and I'll say it again at the end. Everybody can do this. I believe everybody can have this gift if you allow yourself to. It's the person that says the glass is half full instead of half empty. Are you with me? I don't even know who they was, so I'm not calling nobody out because I don't remember who it was. But I overheard several people Sunday going, "Yeah, but tomorrow's going to be awful cold and bad." And I thought, man, just enjoy the sunshine today. Don't be the Debbie Downer. Be the encourager. That's what they are. Now, let's look at another one. Giving. We're almost to the end here. Giving. Romans chapter number 12, verse number 8. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. And then 2 Corinthians 9, 7 says this, God loveth a cheerful giver. What it is, a spirit-given capacity and desire to invest resources generously and strategically into God's work. Simplicity carries the ideal of liberality and sincerity. What it looks like is something like this: sensitive to the financial needs of others, gives quietly, sees money as a ministry and as a tool. Some of the strengths is this: fuels ministry expansion, reflects God's generosity. And I want to say this to you. What a blessing if God has given you that, if you give it back to Him. If you give it back to Him. Maybe the reason God don't give you more than what you've got is because you're not giving the 10% of what you do have. That went over like a lead balloon, didn't it? It's, bless God, I knew you were going to get tithing in here somehow. I don't ever preach on tithing. I ought to preach on it more, but I don't. But here simply, it's that ministry or that gift of giving tonight. Now, I think that there is also a practical application that can be made right here. Some people has this gift, and it is not necessarily with money. It's not necessary. Sometimes I'll get a card in the mail, and people still do that. I'll get a card in the mail, and it just says, "Hey, preacher, I want you to know I love you, and I appreciate you, and I'm praying for you." You know, they don't, or you said, "Preacher, that gift of giving, that gift of giving." Anybody ever just walked up to you and said, "Hey, here's a gift card. Hey, here's this. Hey, here's that. Hey, here's you a chocolate pie." Anybody feeling the need to give one? Here's you a chocolate pie. The gift of giving. Matter of fact, I'm not going to call her name, but one of the young ladies, I was talking to them the other day, and they was talking about cheesecake, and I said, "Now, I'm going to tell you right now, that sounds pretty good right there." And you know what happened, Brother Lloyd, Sunday morning when I got home from church? They was one of them at the house, and I said, "Praise God." You say, "Did you eat it? Do you?" Yes, sir, I eat it. I may have went to the gym more and rode my bicycle more this week, but I eat it, praise God. You know what? They was giving. They was giving. Think about this. Cautions, especially when it comes to the money side of that, I would say this. Some people that has this gift, and God has blessed them to be able to, I will say it this way, bless them to be able to make money or to invest money, and God's blessed them there. Sometimes they may expect to rule where it goes. And I'll say something, we give to the church and trust God to put it where it needs to go. But they may want to do that. They could struggle with trusting other stewardship. Trusting other stewardship. The advancement of the church often rides on these people. It often rides on these people. Why? Because they're the ones that are able to give more on those special days to help with special needs. And God gives that gift of giving. I really believe that. Here's a good one: ruling, administration, and leadership. Romans chapter number 12, verse number 8 says this: "He that ruleth with diligence." 1 Timothy 5:17 says, "Let the elders that rule well." what it is? Well, it's the Spirit-enabled ability to lead, organize, and direct ministry effectively. What it looks like? Naturally organized, thinks strategically, and sees the big picture. That, you know, a lot of people struggle with that. They can't see the big picture. But this individual that has the gift of ruling or administration or leadership, they're able to see that. Some of their strengths is this: they prevent chaos. They can maximize resources. They can maximize resources. And I'm thankful that when we went through this building program, there was some people in the church that was blessed with this gift that helped us to be able to do that, to maximize things. Here's a caution on that, though. Here's a caution on that. You know, if you filled your paper out and this was one of your strengths, I want you to listen to me over the next 2 or 3 minutes. There's a major caution that goes with that. They can become controlling. I got a Somebody got choked right there. They went to say amen and decided not to. They can become controlling. They want to control how everything goes. But I'm going to tell you something. God set up the administration of the church. Man didn't set that up. I didn't set that up. God set that up. And if there is a problem with the way the church is designed to run, it's not that you have a problem with pastor, and it's not that you have a problem with the leadership of the church. You have a problem with God. Amen. I'm just being as humble as I can be telling you that. It's just the truth. And a lot of times this person that is a dominant leader, they have a problem becoming controlling. If they're not Spirit-led, they have a problem with other leaders. They have a problem with other leaders. Have you ever met somebody that could lead but couldn't be led? That's a major weakness. Because at the end of the day, there's always going to be somebody over you. There's always going to be somebody to answer to. There always is. You said, preacher, you don't have nobody over you. Well, I got about 250, 275. There's always somebody you're going to answer to. And a lot of times with this administrative gift, they have a problem with leadership. And that's the reason it's so important that you walk in the Spirit and you are Spirit-led and don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. The reason, I want you to listen to me right here. The reason that you're able to be a good administrator is because of Him. It's not because of anything you've done. It's, well, I went to college and I learned how to do this. Well, who give you the knowledge to be able to do that? Who give you the ability to be able to? It all goes back to God. Every gift goes back to God. God's the one that enables us to do that. So we must be Spirit-led when it comes to this. And we must understand that in order to be a good leader, we have to be able to be led. And I just say that in order to be a good leader, we must be able to be led. Sometimes the person with this, they like to lead all the time. And the truth of the matter is this: I'm glad when I don't have to lead. Saturday morning we met for visitation. And you know what I was able to do? I was able to walk in and make a pot of coffee. I sat in the back. Brother Elijah got up. Went right down through everything, had everything planned out. I didn't do one thing for it but make a pot of coffee, and I was tickled to death. You know what's going to happen on the 21st? I'm going to come in and eat breakfast and listen to Brother Tim and Brother Williams. Listen to what I'm saying to you. If you're ever going to, and I'm not saying that I'm a good leader, but a good leader has to learn how to be led. And that is the problem a lot of times with this person. That is a caution you need to remember. Hey, God give you this ability. Now tell God, help me to be the right kind of leader and to also help me to step aside when I'm not leading and allow someone else to lead me. God help me to do that. All right, now, here we go. Mercy. We've got, this is the last one. Mercy. 7:54. We're about done. Romans chapter number 12, verse number 8. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. As a matter of fact, we could go to Luke chapter number 10, look at verse number 33 and 34, the story of the Good Samaritan. There's a great example there. This mercy, what it is? Well, the Spirit-given ability to feel and respond compassionately to suffering. It's almost like you can carry the burden with them. It's almost like you feel the hurt with them. You understand what I'm saying? What it looks like, drawn to the broken, patient with struggling believers. They comfort in times of crisis. There's several, but there's one that definitely comes to my mind when I was studying this, and I talked about this over in the fellowship hall whenever I was teaching this young adult. I think if anybody in our church has this gift, it's Miss Vicky sitting back there. Miss Vicky has that gift. There's sometimes that she'll walk up to me and go, "Hey, are you okay?" And she knows I'm not. And you say, "Well, man, what kind of person?" She's just gifted by God. God has given her the gift of mercy, the gift of mercy, the Spirit-given ability to feel and respond compassionately to suffering. What it looks like? Well, drawn to the broken, patient with struggling believers, comfort in times of crisis. And we all know that person. We all know that person that when something goes wrong, it's the person that we lean to sometimes. It's the person we call sometimes. It's a person that we know that they're going to be our strong arm when we're weak. And I really believe, I say this, let me say this before I say this. There's a difference in a preacher and a pastor. There's a big difference there. There's a lot of preachers. And I remember my dad told me this the night that Brother Robert called me. We was on a Greyhound bus in South Dakota. Brother Robert called me and said, "Hey, we voted you in as pastor at the church." And here's what my dad told me. He told me several things. Here's one thing he said. He said, "Son, they can get anybody to preach. Pray that God will make you a pastor." And that's what I started praying. And ever since then, I prayed, "God, help me to be a pastor. Help me to be," you know what? If you pastor people the way that you should, they'll put up with you missing the ball every once in a while when you're preaching. They'll put up with some flops every once in a while in a pulpit. Why? Because they know at 2 o'clock in the morning when they need you, you're going to drop everything you're doing and you're going to come alongside of them. I believe that every pastor, I didn't say preacher, every pastor, I believe that if he doesn't have this gift, he should pray for it. He should pray and ask God, "God, help me carry the load with my people. Help me to be there. Help them to know that they can come to me." So it's the gift of mercy. Now, I want to show you this in closing. We're right now done. Your gift is from God. Be yourself and not someone else. Do your best with what you have been entrusted, because the day's going to come that you're going to stand before God for what you did with it. Amen. Use your gift for the glory of God. "Well, preacher, where do I fit in?" Well, I'm going to read you some stuff real quick, okay? We're all to proclaim the truth. Let's look at these. We're all to proclaim the truth. 2 Timothy 4:2. I know he says preach the word, but I think we can also say this, we're all to reach the world with the gospel. We're all to proclaim the truth, that prophet. We're all to serve others, to be a server. What did he say in Galatians 5:13? "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." We're all to instruct others, to be a teacher. The Bible said this in Colossians chapter number 3. "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." We're all to show mercy to others, the gift of mercy. Galatians 6:2, "Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ." I'll say this, we're all to share with others and be generous, the giver. The Bible said this in Matthew chapter number 10, verse 8, freely ye have received, freely give. He said this in Romans chapter number 12, verse number 13, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. I say this, we're all to be organized or plan ahead. That organizer or that administrator. The Bible said this in 1 Corinthians 14:40. Let all things be done decently in order. Last of all, we're all to exhort others and to be an encourager, because the Bible said in Hebrews chapter number 10, verse 25, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. You know what he's talking about right there as Miss Tanya comes and starts playing softly? He's talking about the day when Jesus comes back to get us. And I really believe that if you look at the conditions of our world today and everything that's going on, and you look at the Bible and you read the Word of God, Jesus is fixing to come back and get us. You know what he says to us? He says this, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. And so many times we use that as faithfulness to church. And we say, you know what? The Lord's coming, so we better be faithful to church. And I agree with that. But it's more in the verse. It's not just faithfulness to church, but it's this, exhorting one another. Let me tell you the reason why. Because the closer we get to the coming of God, the worse it's going to get. It's going to get worse and worse and worse and worse the closer we get to the coming of the Lord. So you know what we need to do more and more and more? We need to go to church more and more and more. And when we get to church, we need to exhort one another. We need to encourage one another. I try my best. I try my best every Sunday when the choir's coming down to find somebody and go, you knocked a home run this morning. Man, you sung good this morning. That was amazing. Thank you for being in your place. You know what that is? It's just encouraging. And he says, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So in closing, I think we could honestly say this. If we really look at the Scripture, we're to be doing all of these things. God's given us the ability to do all of them. Some we may do better than others, but we should be doing all of them.